Second John, Second Epistle of John. Not but one chapter. We're looking at verse number 8. Tonight we'll only read one verse. I'm trying to finish up a message I started on this morning. And my biggest problem with doing that is I want to re-preach what I preached this morning, so everybody catch up with us. So I'm going to try to just hit the highlights of this morning and then get to tonight and share this with you. Let's stand, please, while I read the Word of God. 2 John, verse 8. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. And we're talking about that full reward. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the privilege we have tonight be here in the house of God. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have to hear the singing of the songs. What a blessing, God, to know that you have put our sins away and that you remember them no more. I praise your name and thank you for that truth and that reality. I thank you tonight, God, that you let us live, let us have the opportunity to come to the house of God. And tonight that we can come together, sing songs of praise and pray and worship God in spirit and in truth. I pray for this waiting congregation. I'd ask God for all the requests of prayer that's been made to us throughout the day and in recent days, and families in need, people in need, individuals in need, situations that are happening. And I pray in Jesus' name that you'd minister to our hearts and help us and encourage and strengthen. Then I pray for those that's not saved, that the Holy Spirit bring real conviction and draw them to a place where they'll be saved and born in the family of God. I pray for every person here out of the will of God, that you'll speak to their hearts and deal with their lives. They may see their need and be like a psalmist David was when he cried and said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." And Father, we pray in Jesus' name, do so tonight. We'll thank you and praise you. I plead the blood. I plead Jesus. I ask for that divine help. And I confess to you tonight, Lord, that I can do nothing without you. And I stand here as a needy creature. And I pray in Jesus' name for your anointing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We're talking about this full reward. And in dealing with that, we dealt with the fact of unsaved, that they're not going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. I guess, again, I need to just quickly mention the judgments about where we'll stand. We'll forget about the nations right now, not deal with that. But as saved people, born again people, after the rapture of the church, Jesus said in Revelation, he come back and said, "Bring my reward with me to give every man as according as his work shall be." And the Bible teaches in Romans 14 and 10 that we'll all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And so there's not a question about whether we'll be there or not. If we're saved, we will be at the judgment seat of Christ. That's not to be judged for salvation. That is to be judged as stewards of what God's given us down here and being faithful, and whether or not we've served him as we ought to and obeyed him and listened to what he had to say. And so that judgment, at the judgment seat of Christ, and what a glorious time that'll be when you see people that you help get to Jesus and get saved. When you see folk you witnessed to, folk you led to Christ, or folk that you had the privilege to be in some help in missions, that they'll be there. And I'll say a little bit more about that later. But thank God that there'll be some joys. I said this morning, there's a certain part about the judgment seat of Christ that I have an awesome wonder about. There's a certain kind of fear that you have concerning that. It's like taking an exam. In school, you've studied, you're getting ready to take an exam, and you're wondering what those questions are going to be like and how you're going to do on the exam. Well, I'm wondering how I'm going to do when I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not something to take lightly. That's not something we just go over it real quickly, because God holds us accountable for listening to his word, studying his word, obeying him, being a witness, being a Christian that God would have us to be, that we might magnify him and worship and adore him. And so we need to keep all this in mind. But then there'll be the great white throne judgment that comes after after the rapture, after the tribulation, after the millennium, when all that's over with, then comes a great white throne judgment. And all the unsaved will be there before Jesus Christ. And every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, if you're not saved tonight, you will be at the great white throne judgment. And you will bow one day. I'm glad I bowed this side of eternity. Amen. I don't have to wait to get to the other side. I bowed already, confessing Him as Lord, trusting Him as my Savior. I'm saved. At the great white throne judgment, it'll be too late to get saved. But God will get glory. And Jesus Christ will be magnified. I was reading something just a few minutes ago, right before church. I was reading something that had been printed in a magazine. They were talking about a Christian magazine from a college, and they were talking about the fact that in a county in California, they're trying, somebody, ACLU's trying to sue the city council because they pray in Jesus' name. And the mayor of that city said, I believe that's worth going to war over. And he opened up the next meeting and prayed in Jesus' name. And I say amen for that. I believe we ought never be ashamed of the name Jesus. And don't let somebody take it away from us that we cannot pray in Jesus' name. Fact is, if you're going to pray, you're going to pray in Jesus' name. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we can pray except Jesus. And He's the only mediator there is between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. I'm glad I have a mediator. He is my high priest. He's the one that intercedes for me, pleads my case. He's the one that pled my case when I got saved. And God heard my prayer and saved me because of Jesus, pleading my case. I'm glad we have a mediator. I'm glad there's one we can go to. And He is there. Well, so much for that. But anyway, at the great white throne judgment, too late for salvation, and be cast in the lake of fire and burn forever and forever. This morning, I gave you some verses about being saved. I just want to say, thank God the condemnation is past. And we're saved by the grace of God. If you're not saved tonight, I invite you to come and trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You say, preacher, I don't know if I'm saved or not. The Bible says in 1 John that you may know. These things are written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. If you don't know that you have eternal life, then you need to get that settled tonight. I'm glad it can be settled. You can know. And you can leave out of the house of God saying, I know that I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. You say, preacher, that'd be boasting on my goodness. No, you've got to realize if the Holy Ghost ever makes it real to you, that it's not because of your doing and not doing. It's because of what He did and you trusted Him as your Lord and Savior. That's what gets you saved. Amen. You're not saved because I can stand here tonight and say, I know that I'm saved and going to heaven. I'm as good as delivered in heaven. That's not boasting on me. I am in myself. I'd die and go to hell. That's boasting on Him. Amen. He is able to save and He's able to keep. Amen. And I say hallelujah for both of them. Amen. I'm glad for the reality. We talked about the crowns that the Bible speaks about, five crowns that the Bible speaks of that we at the judgment seat of Christ may receive. Let me turn to 1 Corinthians 9. We'll just take briefly, and I'm not going to preach this because I preached it this morning, but in verse number 25, and every man, this is 1 Corinthians 9:25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Now what he's saying there, using about sports and so forth, they train because they're trying to win a race or a ball game or something. They train for that. But said, we're after something else. And so we are tempered in all things. That is, we bring our body into subjection. And our bodies need to be brought into subjection. What? No, you're not. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. And so we bring our body into subjection and trust Jesus and lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Now, that's the incorruptible crown that we shall have in that day for doing so. Now, look in James chapter number 1, verse number 12. James 1, verse 12. Blessed is a man that endureth temptation, For when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now, we talked about temptation as being a trial. And you remember Job I mentioned this morning, but let me mention about Paul. Paul said one time that if they had a thorn in the flesh, he asked God to remove it three times, and God said no. But my grace is sufficient for thee. And he went on to explain. He said that thorn in the flesh God had given to him, and it kept him where he ought to be, keep him from being exalted above measure because of the revelations that had been given to him. God had mightily used the Apostle Paul, and he certainly was a great preacher of the Word of God. But God gave him a thorn in the flesh to temper him and keep him humble and keep him where he wanted him to be. God has to work on many of us the same way. And so we need to understand that trials come our way. Here the crown of life is talking about handling those trials in the right way. You have problems. I have problems. We all have problems. And like I said this morning, if you're not in a storm or in a problem, you're headed for one. It won't be very long before you'll be something happening in your life. And it'll be in family, or it'll be job, or it'll be some situation. There'll be something somewhere that you'll have to say the preacher was right. And life is full of man that's born to woman in a few days and full of trouble, Job said. I believe that. Amen. But I'm glad that we know the God that's able to help us in our trouble. And fact is, he's a God of all comfort. He is the guide of our lives. He gave us a book to help us. He gave us the Holy Spirit to guide us. And thank God he is our help. Amen. I'm glad. I don't know what folk do that know not Jesus Christ as their Savior. How do they handle these things? How do they go through what they go through? I do not know. But I know one thing. I know that Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And I'll go with you all the way. And I believe that with all my heart, that he will do so. Then temptation come to sin and do wrong. But God said, with every temptation, make a way of escape. If we only trust him and let him help us, God will make a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. Somebody said, and years ago they had these shirts out, the devil made me do it. Now, that's not true. The devil didn't make you do anything. You did it because you chose to do it. Amen. The devil. Now, there may be influences in your life. There are influences in your life. But you sin because you choose to sin. I've said before, you're not a sinner because you sin. You sin because you are a sinner. You came into this world for a sin nature. And you have to bring that in subjection and let God help you and God deliver you. And I'm glad to the crown of life. I'd like to stand yonder someday and say, God, hear Jesus say to him that you let me help you overcome these things in your life. You let me help you. And here's a crown of life. And troubles, you still depended upon me. You trusted me to help you. I say, amen. Are you trusting God? And young people, you need to remember this. That trouble's going to come your way someday. There'll be a time and a place when you're running into real trouble and you're going to need to know God, and that God's the one that can help you and will help you if you'll let him. But now, number three, I want you to turn with me in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We've talked about the incorruptible crown, and then the crown of life. But look at this. In verse 19 and 20 of 1 Thessalonians, and chapter 2. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and our joy. Now here he's talking about being a witness for the Lord Jesus. Talking about trying to reach others for Christ. He's talking about that. And said, ye are our crown of rejoicing. And I was mentioning a while ago about the judgment seat of Christ and thinking about that. Don't you know that when we stand yonder someday at the judgment seat of Christ, what a joy it will be. The Bible says the last shall be first, the first shall be last. And the last one saved didn't have an opportunity to get anybody saved. And so they'll be judged first, then the next one be judged, and who they influenced down the way. Can you think about those apostles that kept the faith and preached the gospel and started churches, and all those saved after them will be credited to their account? What a place of rejoicing. Paul said, ye are our joy, a crown of rejoicing. And he's talking about people that got saved because of his preaching. They got saved. He said, you're our joy. You're our crown of rejoicing. I want to say tonight, thank God for the joy of leading people to Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. I think I may have mentioned this the other night, but I went back to Rural Retreat on Monday, last Monday, and I preached about Monday night, preached an ordination on Tuesday morning, a place where I used to pastor. And this boy, this young man that we ordained in the gospel ministry, I watched him grow up. He got saved while he was there. And I looked around, and two preachers behind me got saved in our ministry, and I thought, what a joy, our crown of rejoicing. And then there's a man there that got saved 30-some years ago, and he come up to me and thanked me again for preaching the gospel, and he got saved. Here's an interesting story I mentioned, but some haven't heard it, but I was preaching a funeral service. I'd left Rural Retreat, called back to preach a funeral service for a man that gotten killed. And he had always told me how he wanted to see his brother get saved. His brother was a coach and a school teacher and that kind of thing. And he liked to hunt. He stayed busy all the time and out and other things. And Kenny tried to get him to come to church. He wouldn't come to church. And he wouldn't give his heart to the Lord. And one day Kenny got killed. A piece of metal flew off a lathe, hit him in the head, and killed him immediately. And at that funeral service, I wasn't a pastor at that time, so I didn't give an invitation, but Kenny's wife came up to me, and she said, "Will you give an invitation at the cemetery?" And I told the pastor what she'd asked me to do, and I always try to respect the pastor of that church, he said, "Okay." And so it's not the same pastor they have now, by the way, he said, "It's all right if I do that." And I gave that invitation beside of a hope chest. I started to say casket, but not a casket, it's a hope chest. Amen. Hope chest where you put things in that you're going to use later. Amen. You're going to come out of there. And so we stand there at that graveside, a resurrection ground. We stand in there. And I gave an invitation. And here come Kenny's brother. And he actually was on his hands and knees, crawling up there and saying, "I want to get saved. I want to get saved." Led him to the Lord Jesus right there. He got saved. And you know how it is at gravesides or in prisons or things, you wonder sometimes. But thank God some of them are real. Yeah. Amen. Somebody said, "Well, that's just emotional." He was emotional. He's hurt over his brother dying. But he also was under Holy Ghost conviction. His brother had been telling him about Jesus, been witnessing to him. And he had a desire to be saved. And he'd been suppressing that, pushing it down. But that day at that brother's funeral, he gave up, flew up, as Brother Mark said, the white flag of surrender, and said, "I want to get saved." He got born in the family of God, been 30-some years, and he come up, hugged my neck, and said, "Thank you for telling me about Jesus." And he said, "I wish I'd have done it while Kenny was living, but Brother Blake, I tell him about it," and he said, "I got a feeling Brother Kenny knows about it over yonder." I do too, amen. I believe when he got saved at that funeral service, at that graveside, I believe over in heaven it made news, and Kenny somehow heard about it over there, and praise God and thank God his brother got saved. Amen. You say, "Preacher, you're crazy." I may be, but I'm having a good time on the trip. Amen. So just leave me alone. Amen. I believe getting people saved and rejoicing, they're a crown of rejoicing. I'm trying to tell you, I'm not trying to pin any flowers on me. I just happened to be the preacher that was there. Happened to be the one God used for that time. God could have used somebody else. But I'm glad God let me get in on it. I'm saying tonight, thank God, God let me get in on some things and seeing people saved. Amen. And then I'm not seeing the people saved now. I'd like to see get saved, but I got a desire in my heart to see people saved, born in the family of God. Amen. I want to see people come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. And just think about it. When you stand at judgment one day, and there you are, somebody come by, somebody you gave a tract to, somebody you witnessed to, and somebody, they got saved, and you planted the seed or you watered where somebody else had planted, and God gave the increase. And he says, "Here's your reward." And you'll look at that and say, "Hallelujah. Hey, praise God. I long to see that." Amen. That'd be the joy part of being at the judgment seat of Christ. Let me show you something over in Genesis. If you'll turn there with me in Genesis chapter 29. Genesis chapter 29. This is another message, but I'm going to preach it real quickly. I'm going to abbreviate it tonight. Genesis 29 and verse 31. "And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren." Now get this, Rachel was barren. It was a disgrace for a Hebrew woman not to bear children. They all wanted to bear a son to their husband. And so Rachel was embarrassed and hurt and discouraged because she bare no children. She was barren. But look in verse number 1 of chapter 30. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children, else I die. And of course, he went on and said, I'm not in God's stead. And said, I can't make you have children. Only God can do that. But she's saying, give me children or I can't stand it. I'm going to die if I can't have children. Do you know we need to get some burden about souls going to hell, about getting people saved? And we cry to God, God, give me children, else I can't stand it. I can't live like this. I want to see people saved. And when we do that, now I want to show you something else in this chapter 30, book of Genesis, look at verse number 22. And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb, and she conceived and bare a son, and said, God have taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. Hallelujah. You know what happened? She had one son, and God, she's so happy about that. She said, God going to give me another son. And if you ever get somebody saved, have a part in it, and really get involved in witnessing, getting people to say, you want to go get somebody else. Amen. You're never satisfied with that. You want somebody else to get saved. I say, God, help us all. Get involved in it. I started giving out tracts, witnessing, inviting, pleading with people to come, and trying to get people on the sound of the gospel that they may be saved. You say, preacher, you really believe that God saves people? I believe God's still in the saving business. I believe God will be saving people until Jesus comes back and takes us out of here. And so we need to stay busy about witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a crown of rejoicing in that. Now I want you to turn with me in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, and this dealing especially with pastors. I guess I'll preach to myself here a minute, but y'all, it's good for everybody. You can make an application out of it. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but a ready mind. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Now, I want to stop right there. Let me go to verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. I say hallelujah. I'm glad he's mentioned that crown of glory. But I want to show you three positives in verse 2 and 3. And then three negatives that he gives about this. Three positives of this. He said feed. Feed the flock of God. And so we need to feed the flock of God. It's my responsibility to feed you spiritually. You come to be fed, you need to hear the word of God. I can't do that in myself. God can. And God can take the word that I preach, he can use it and feed you and give you something that'll help you. You need, just as sure as you need to go to the table and eat and get nourishment for your body physically, you need to come to church and hear the word of God. Amen. That gives you nourishment, amen? And you need some help. I need help. I need to get fed from the word of God. And then taking the oversight. And we are the overseer. That's not by my choice. That's God's choice. In fact, there's a lot of times I just soon pass that on somebody else. But God put me in charge as an overseer, as the under-shepherd of this church. Every pastor has that responsibility. That's not something you ride back and say, boy, I got it over you. No, sir. That's like being the husband of the wife. You may be the head of the house, but you better love your wife like you love the church. Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. And so I must love you that same way and care for you and have a desire for you to learn more about Jesus and grow in grace and be a soul winner and encourage you and strengthen you. And when you hurt, I hurt. When you hurt, I hurt. And when you rejoice, I rejoice with you. And if you can only be in the pastor's shoes for a few days, you'd realize what it's like to hurt with somebody else hurts. And you want to do something and you don't know what to do. And there's situations you can't do anything except pray. But you can pray and ask God to give them strength and grace and help. And I believe we serve a great God that's able to do that. And so we need to take that oversight thereof. But we don't do that in the wrong kind of way. But then in verse number 3, latter part, it says being in samples to the flock. We are set the right example to the flock. And so, and I'm one of you, but yet I don't want to be one of the boys. I am one of you in the sense that I'm one of the children of God, one of the flock of God. I want to love you as brothers and sisters in the Lord, but I don't want to become so familiar that I become just another one of the fellows around the church. You know what I'm saying? Y'all follow me in that. I believe the pastor has a place, a responsibility, and an office that he stands in that is sometimes lonely, to be honest with you, and sometimes people all around you, but you're still lonely, and you cannot share many things. But I'm glad, thank God, there's one I can share with. I can go in the prayer closet and find him and talk to him, and he shares with us. Now, that's a positive thing that God gives us. But look at the negative. And not by constraint, verse number 2. That is not made to do it. Do it willingly. Because now, I said a while ago I'd like to pass some responsibility on sometime, but I'm telling you that I don't know what I'd do if I wasn't pastoring. I don't know what I'd do that. God puts something in your heart. When God puts it in your heart, you can't do anything about it. It's there, and God gives you that desire. And the pastor, my wife said one time, somebody said something about me retiring. She said, "What would you do with yourself?" And I don't know what I'd do. This is all I know. This is all I do. It's my life. I live, breathe it, get up with it, go to bed with it, live and breathe it all day. It's my life. And so I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not complaining about that. It is simply the way that it is. And I thank God for it, not by constraint. Neither for filthy lucre. That is not for money. I made the statement when I first came here. I cannot be bought and I cannot be sold. And so I'm not in it for money. I appreciate you taking care of me. I appreciate everything that you've ever done for me. And church has been real good to me. And I cannot stand here and say anything but thank you. And God bless you. You've been good. But I don't preach for money. I don't do that. If that's why I did it for, I'd resign tonight. I'd go do something else and find me something else to do. Amen. Because money cannot buy the preacher. If you can buy a preacher, he's not worth having. Amen. If you can buy him, he's not worth having. If you can get him with a hot dog, somebody else get him with a hamburger. Amen. He's not worth a flip. And he's not worth the salt goes in your cornbread. If you put salt in cornbread, I don't know. But anyhow, I'm telling you, a preacher can't be bought or sold. If he's a man of God, he does it because God called him. I'm not here because God, because this church offered me so much money or this, that, and the other. I'm here because God put me here. In fact, is when I first came here, there wasn't a whole lot to be offered. I just thought I'd plug that in, amen. But God put us here, and we thank him. I'm not talking about you, Linda. I saw her whispering to my wife. I knew good and well they was plotting against me right there. They something up, and he's saying we're no good. That's what you say. Well, so many words. No, that wasn't what I meant. That wasn't what I meant. But anyway, well, you got me lost. I'm about to get back to where I was preaching. Hey, every once in a while, I got to laugh. Amen. But I'm glad to be a pastor, and that negative, not for money. But look at verse number 3. Neither is being lords over God's heritage. Now, I want to tell you what's right. I want to preach the word of God to you. I want to tell you exactly what we expect. And we do have some standards around the church. And I believe I have every right as a pastor to set some standards and that we ought to try to meet those standards. And we don't do that to be ugly. We don't mean to do that to be mean. But I think we ought to respect the house of God. I think we ought to come to the house of God in a certain way. Amen. And I believe the Bible teaches us about dressing and so forth, even in public. I think the Bible tells us some of those things. But I'm not going to lord it over you and tell you that you got to part your hair on the right side or left side, or you got to do this, or you got to do that, or you know some of this crazy stuff that goes on today. I'm not the Lord over you. He's Lord. I'm the under shepherd. I need to preach this book and preach the word of God to you and help you as a people of God. But I'm not Jesus. I am not going to lord it over you and try to what you do in your house and how you do out there in the world. That's between you and God, and y'all better settle it. Amen. And do what God wants you to do. And so we need to understand that. Let God help us. You remember over there When Jesus is talking to Peter in John chapter 21, Peter denied him three times. Three times Jesus said, "Peter, Simon Peter, lovest thou me?" He said, "Feed my lambs." And then he said, "Feed my sheep." Third time he said, "Feed my sheep again." And that's exactly my job, is to feed you, is to take the oversight thereof and to lead you in the right way and be an example to you that we might show forth the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Amen. And thank God for it. Now let me give you the last thing. I want you to look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 8. Henceforth, give me time to find it. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 8. Paul been coming down to the end of his life, said, "I'm now ready to be off," and so forth. And then in verse number 8, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Here's that last crown I'm talking about tonight, is the fact that he said, "A crown of righteousness laid up for me, not only me, but for all them that love his appearing." This crown is for everybody that loves the appearing of the Lord Jesus. If you're looking for Jesus, you're going to receive a crown. Isn't that something? God tells us he's coming back. It's our blessed hope. He's coming. And then he said, those that love his appearing, those that are looking for him, expecting him, he said, "I'm going to give you a reward for that." I say hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. For a crown of rejoicing and a crown, here's a crown of righteousness given to us because we love his appearing, looking for his appearing, expecting his appearing. Jesus Christ is coming back. Amen. Hallelujah and glory to God and the Lamb forever. I'm glad Jesus is coming back and we're going to have a new body glorified like unto his. And I say praise God. I'm looking forward to it. Amen. And get out of this world of trouble and sorrow and heartaches and disappointments and be in the land of the living forever and forever. I say whoopee. Glory to God. Amen. I'll be like a lady got baptized, a hot doggy. Amen. She didn't know what else to say. She hadn't been around too long. So hot doggy. And I say praise God and hot doggy too. Amen. It's good to know Jesus is coming. We're getting out. He said, "Look, I don't know what's going to happen today." And we worry about what's happening in Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. is not in charge of this world. Amen. In fact, they're not in charge of our lives. Amen. I'm looking for Jesus Christ to come and take us home and get us out of here. Amen. Our hope is not in Washington. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Don't get too disturbed down here. Just settle in looking up. Amen. Amen. Every day say, "This may be the day. This may be the day. This may be the day. It may be the night that Jesus will come and we'll go home." Thank God. Isn't God good? Amen. All the time. And he loves you. He loves me. He's going to give out some crowns. But let me, I said I was going to close with that, but I got one last thing. I want you to look with me in Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. What are we going to do with our crowns? These crowns are an incentive to live holy, serve God faithfully, do what God wants us to do. But what are we going to do with them? Chapter 4, verse 1, you find the rapture of the church. Then verse number 10 and 11, look at it. The 24 elders represent the Old Testament saints and New Testament saints. Fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things and for thy pleasure they are and were created." He said, cast their crowns before the throne saying, "Thou art worthy, thou art worthy." I'd like to have something I can lay at his feet and say, "Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy." We won't take anything with us out of this world to give him. We'll be there and we'll give an account to him, but then to cast crowns at his feet and say, "Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy." Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I pray today that through the preaching of the Word of God, that it has been a way of feeding your soul, a challenge to your life, that we'll have a desire to love his appearing, look for his coming, have a desire to reach others for Christ, be a witness, a desire to keep our lives tempered and keep our lives under control by the grace and help of God, that God would help us in all these areas of our lives. And I pray tonight that you'll let God help you. You're sitting in this house and you don't know that you're saved. I pray you come to Jesus and get saved. You're sitting here tonight and you don't know that your life is really where God wants it to be. You ought to come. You're here tonight and you say in your heart, Lord, I want to be a better witness for the Lord Jesus. I desire to do these things, and I want, when I face you, not to be ashamed. You may need to come tonight and bow at an old-fashioned altar and just say, Lord, help me. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you'd speak to hearts, you'd help individuals. God, I pray you'd help me see myself. Lord, in light of what we've preached today, in light of what we've said, knowing that someday we'll have to stand yonder at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account. And Father, I tremble at that thought. I know there'll be some joy in it and seeing those that you let us be a help to. But Father, on the other hand, as I look at my life, I realize, Lord, that these times we could do much better. Lord, have a greater burden, greater desire. And Father, I pray you forgive us and help us, God, that we may do what we ought to do and be glad that we did it when we stand yonder in judgment one day. I pray as the invitation goes out tonight that you speak to every heart. Maybe somebody here just needs to come and pray. Maybe somebody needs to come and get some things right. Maybe somebody's got some heavy burdens they need to bring and leave with Jesus. Father, you have your way. Magnify yourself, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.